surgery to call Dudley if anything happens. Is that correct?
That I don't know. Mm-hmm. They say so, but I don't know. Probably you know that when he has died, there's a movement amongst parliamentarians to make Dudley the Prime Minister. See, and they presented a petition.
Yes, but only about 20 or 30. What was the general feeling in the event? They preferred Dudley?
Yeah, I think so. They preferred Dudley. See?
Didn't, was Lord Salisbury's personal dislike for Sir John also influence the decision?
I don't know their personal relationship, you know. But somehow or other, large number of very influential MPs, I was not one of them, actually met and resolved to make representations to Lord Salisbury to summon Dudley.
Why?
They thought that Sir John was not competent to be Prime Minister. Well, in fact, Dudley asked me to go to their meeting, their meeting at Shravasti, and tell them to not to persist in that attempt, but to agree to serve under Sir John. So we're stuck there, but they still
don't know. Is that, R.G. and J.R. and some others, and Oliver, were the leading lights in this movement?
Make Dudley the Prime Minister?
Yes.
No. R.G. may have been, but I'm not sure about R.G. But Freddy certainly.
Freddy Jarvis.
Yes, Freddy Jarvis. Bulankulame. They were the leading lights. Yes, R.G. also. R.G.
What I find surprising is that after they did this, Sir John must have been very annoyed with them. Yet, later on, he had them in as ministers, Bulankulame and R.G. How is that?
When he became Prime Minister, he got to change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He dropped two persons. He dropped Sir Ali Khan.
Yeah.
He dropped Sir Ali Khan. Banaman.
Gigi. Punnambalam also was supposed to have worked against him, no?
Yes. He dropped Punnambalam and Dudley.
Punnambalam was against him, no?
Hmm.
I think in the premier stakes, you were reported to have intimated to him to be the first to tell him that there was something fishy going on.
Does he say fishy? No,
yes.
I didn't say that.
No, well, he's the term, of course.
Maybe, yes. I telephoned to him.
Yes.
And told him, DSNF is seriously ill.
Mm-hmm.
Come over, that's all. But he has put some other concoction into it. Because DS is seriously ill. And I know that Sir John is competent to deal with a situation like that. That is, you see, getting doctors from England or whatever, those things. I was not thinking of the succession at all.
You didn't realize that there was one hand moves to do anything? To get that?
No, generally, I also thought that Dudley might become the Prime Minister and should become the Prime Minister. Because I thought he would have been seriously considered that. See?
Was that the general feeling in the cabinet too?
Yes, yes. Most of the members thought that he might be there. Yeah. Should be the successor. In fact, as soon as DS died, I thought I told that he had been the baby would become the Prime Minister. So he said no. But I didn't participate in the
Landing?
No. I don't know, so none of our ministers will get
back. And what about the Harsal, as you were Minister of Home?
Still, no?
Yes. I suppose you were directly involved?
No.
Well, in the Home Ministry, what subjects did you have?
I have police in Kambadam. We stay under the Prime Minister. But we are all involved in the sense that you are with the Prime Minister. See, that is why the Hartal was going on and strikes and this, that and the other. See, all of us were together in the middle of the cabinet. These are all at temple places or in the prime minister's office.
Yes,
sir.
How
then? Have you had any meaning? Like that.
And what led Dudley to resign?
Well, he felt they found that Dudley, everybody wanted him to be the Prime Minister.
Pardon?
He found that everybody wanted him to be the Prime Minister.
No, Dudley in 53 after the Hartal.
He is illness, sir. After the Hartal, he was feeling too ill. We tried our best to persuade him to take 6 months leave. He said no.
Oh, it just happened to be a coincidence?
Yeah. No, Hartal has nothing to do with it. Hartal is in April, isn't it? August. Hartal must have been in August and this happened somewhere in November or December. He was ill, he just couldn't.
And what led Sir John to resign in 56? I mean, to dissolve Parliament ahead of time.
You see, 56, Dudley was out of
office,
out of the UNP, and he resigned from UNP. No, he didn't resign from UNP. He ceased to be a minister. He was a backbencher. He led a movement, the prohibition movement. See? E.R.G. all these people led a prohibition movement. And he was also somewhat critical of the BNP, referring to fascist tendencies of the Prime Minister, that will resist, he made a speech somewhere. So, I think, probably thought that with Dudley also in the opposition, see, it will be and Dudley's movement also gathers momentum, and all the opposition forces get together, it will be too formidable for him, so he thought he might, before he gathers momentum, dissolve Parliament.
Again, J.L.C. Fernando says that he did so under the sort of influence of an old evil genius. I don't know who he's referring to, probably Oliver.
Yes.
And
maybe. Because most of the members of the cabinet thought that he shouldn't dissolve.
Oh, he went against the cabinet then. What was your view?
I was very keen to complete this dance celebration. I was in charge of the dance celebrations. And I had made all the arrangements. Quite of detail, 5 million rupees expenditure on a grand scale. And I was constantly worrying, oh, do this and finish this and... But I was very keen to tell that. I was that one year.
And why did you all stagger the elections? Because you all suffered in the end.
Yes, that is probably they thought that that it would be to our advantage. See, that is, you have elections. Sir, of course, you know the technique. Now in Burma, you see they have the safest seats for the ministers. So that's the first installment. And if any minister is defeated, he goes to another constituency to fight the elections. So the elections are staggered over a period of nearly 4 weeks.
And what do you think helped Burma to win?
Generally, a government is always in Ceylon, I find. It is very difficult to maintain its popularity. See? Whatever you do, see? The demand is greater than the supply. Yeah? The demand patronage is greater than the supply. And every government now takes this as Banda. If Banda had an election the year that he died, he himself told me that he would get 26.
I had a distinct feeling, just before you were assassinated, that he was his towers on the way. Did you feel so?
Oh, he himself, he told Stanley, this very son who was pleading for a dissolution, Stanley, you lose your deposit.
Why did Stanley want to have dissolution?
I don't know, he had said so. Because there was a big demand for dissolution. So Uddhava, he thought it was a very popular thing that they would be able to come back to power. But Bandha is a Chatrita, you know, he had a ear to the ground. And he, I think, a sounder knowledge of public sensitiveness than any other politician in Ceylon.
What about his ability? I mean, he was known for his ability in speaking and all that, but as an administrator, wasn't he rather weak?
Very strong, not firm enough.
Not methodical?
Not methodical, nor not firm enough. He was a brilliant orator.
Someone said that he was invariably late for meetings. Is that correct?
That is, if the meeting starts at 10 o'clock, they come at about 10:30, 11:30 and say, I thought the meeting was at 11 o'clock. Even then you'd be really late. That is, I suppose, you know, she starts late. And then, having so many people at home, this is the circumstances under which he resigned. I related the whole story, it's in the hands, I don't know. 19th, budget debate. On the budget debate. That is my personal knowledge, my own personal knowledge. Bandha never intended to resign on that. See?
Yes, he didn't wait for the right moment, did he?
He may have been thinking of it, and probably might have still resigned, but not on that day under those circumstances.
He shouldn't have.
He was not thinking of it. Overnight, he made that decision, probably at about 8 a.m. See, on the day that he decided to resign. See, because, you know, as I told you, the senior vice president of Srila Mahasabha, and he was constantly in touch with me. See, and the very decision was by
him. Did he try to get you to come across to
him? Yeah, he tried his best to do that. In other words, I was whole time persuading him not to resign. See, never to resign, but to contest the DSM Act. He probably, he will not stand for election next time, and that he would succeed. D.S. was certain about those things. Although he was suspicious about Lionel becoming the Prime Minister, he didn't trust D.S. in America, but I was certain that D.S. those people had no such intentions. I also knew that Dudley had no such intention of displacing Bandha.
Did he try to get RSS also to cross over?
He was not in Parliament. I don't think RSS was in Parliament. RSS must have been ambassador at that time.
No, it was after.
Huh? It was after. RSS was not here.
I think he had lost the election on an election petition, hadn't he?
Must be, yes. Yes, that's right. But only six people crossed with him.
Isn't it correct to say that he was getting more and more annoyed at the way in which his village program was being undermined by this Oliver and Sir John, who they were setting up this rural development, they were setting up some rival village organization, weren't they?
Rural development.
Yes.
Yeah, there must have been. You see, that is, he had his community centers, and this rural development society is very started by, and there was rivalry in the villages between the community centers and the rural development societies. Well, the cumulative effect of all these things, I don't know whether that Tyrone was the cause,
And jumping to 1960, why did the Federal Party, 1960 March, support Dudley? Surely it would have been evident to them that the UNP was less?
Yes, but then, UNP 1960, conducted a campaign, 100% anti-Federal Party campaign, all these maps and you see, that was immediately after this Bandaranaike-Sivanayagam pact, see.
Do you think it was a wise move to do it in that way?
What the UNP did in 1960?
Yes.
of the wisdom of anything can be. Now you can say it's very huge. But at that time it appeared to be very... See, in the south, as in the north, in the south any empty Tamil campaign is very popular. Just as in the north any anti-Semitical campaign is popular. And it's very unfortunate, most unfortunate, that even today with so much education and enlightenment, even enlightened people, civil servants,
yes,
top public servants, see, are communal minded. That is, that's the tragedy of the present political situation. Even with the Sinhalese in power, how many Sinhalese are there in the cabinet? All except two are Sinhalese. And Sinhalese are dominating the scene. With all that, you see, the people are communal minded. It's a most unfortunate thing.
And as a result, the parties are tempted to play the communal card.
Yes, now take even the Marx. Created divisions, political divisions, it has divided the families, divided the villages. Even in the temples, one priest is against the other, the pupil is against the guru, the teacher is against the pupil, son is against the father, father against the son. It has created shock, see? And the new caste system is much more rigid, see? And we are preaching more hatred now, see? Not economic development, but development of hatred, see? Jealousy, rivalry, competition. These things will not contribute to the welfare of a nation. And I personally think that this Westminster model, by all means, stand to democracy, let there be elections. Let the government be selected by the people. So, you must stand by that, by democracy. But why should the... we slavishly imitate the Westminster model.
But now this regarding this communal cry, birth, and the fact now the UNP took it up in 56 and 60, weren't there any elements in the UNP who resisted the idea?
No powerful elements. Now since I felt it, but I didn't. Because that is the danger of this party system. You see, when you are in a party, your individual feelings, your individual opinions are subordinate. You only remittance to your politics of the party. See? Now take for instance, I was for years advocating the takeover of all schools. Not exactly like this, but I was, see, a different way. Of course, certain amount of autonomy and freedom. But when it came to the parliament in 1960, I had to vote with the party. See?
Yes.
Yes. So you see, your own views. I don't like to go from party to party. There is something like a party. There is a party, you must be trying to be loyal to those parties. But you see, it doesn't permit the person to express freely his views on every subject. Open. See? Openly. And act accordingly. Now, during the State Council days, every member was able to express his views freely and act on it. And act on it. And the government was stable. Nothing happened to the government. There was no discipline. See? That is, you see, now the fear is that you can't have frequently the resolutions of the parliament. You must pray for that. See? Except on some straight no confidence motion or some proposal to providing for stable government. But there should be enough person to really decide their vote on that.
What did you think of the executive committee system?
That's what I say. That was a very good system.
But would it have kept pace with the modern needs? Wasn't it slow?
Why should you say it is slow? In fact, there has been as much development with the limited resources at our disposal. There has been more development during that time than now. Mm-hmm. You see?
And in which executive committee were you?
I was right through in the education committee.
Education. For instance, the committee meetings, how were they conducted? I mean, did the chief secretary or anyone else also come?
They come. I mean, if they are called, they attend meeting, but they are not present. Normally they are not present. Very rare, yes. Yeah.
When they were present, did they impose their will?
No. In fact, they are invited to be present very rarely, and for their advice, they don't impose their will on anything. They did not.
Did they have a moderating influence?
Not even for the ministers. You see, they were supreme in their own sphere of activities. Minister of Law, Minister of Legal Secretary.
Legal Secretary.
You see, the key position was the finance minister. See?
So,
now that was, you see, he had to work within within the framework of imperial finances, financial policies. That was the fate of law, you see.
Yes.
You see, we had their currency commissioners, their financial policies and so on. You see, we are tied to the colonial system, you see.
Didn't that affect the way in which the bank was formed? 39?
Well, practically everything.
It restricted?
No. See, we have no independence in that respect. A very big license. In fact, that was really the key thing that restricted the state house. See, if we had a complete financial autonomy, the state council could have done wonders.
Did the financial secretary veto any useful schemes?
Useful schemes, development schemes. I'm not aware of any useful development schemes here there. But you see, the fact that our financing had to be done within the purview of the colonial economy, we didn't think of, you know, deficit budgets. We didn't think of plans. We didn't think of hitting certain targets. There was a certain amount of money. You see, the certain taxes brought in a certain amount of revenue. You see? And expenditures was restricted to that amount of revenue. And whenever there's a big development scheme, we bring in a loan resolution, a special ordinance, say the Trincomalee Railway Ordinance, raising a loan of 5 million rupees. You go to that also with the approval of the Secretary of State. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And you do that on that, see, out of that loan fund. But now this setting up of the central banks and the deficit budgeting and all those have revolutionized public finance. See, in the olden days, revenue, say that's 100 million rupees, not expenditure, you have to cut your quote according to the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Now you plan first. What are the nation's requirements? See, first you think of that. Accordingly, we will see. There is an overall budget. See, all the requirements are looked into, and then, first of all, revenue from existing taxes. So much. How much can we borrow? The full limit we can borrow locally from abroad. Then how much money need? And then when that is done, there is still a balance, we call it a deficit budget. See? So that we are able to do things that we want. In the olden days, we had to cut the quote according to the
Was there much friction between these officers of state and the ministers?
Of course. On finances, public service, transferring of public. My goodness, that used to be a headache every time. No?
Were they very difficult to get on with?
Yes, yes. Obstructing all the time. In fact, you see that all the public servants took their orders from the government. At least they felt that they are not bound to carry out the minister's orders.
Who were the difficult chaps to get on with?
when you enter banks, for instance, in the police department, mm-hmm. and you were that man in the irrigation department,
Kennedy.
Before Kennedy, another man, him.
Mead.
There were times they were fighting DSA lines, okay.
What about Tyrrell and Wedderburn? How were they?
Well, they were not occupying Britain. They were also, you see, they were also conscious of their powers. They thought that the public service must be safeguarded, protected, and that development must... In fact, they had no idea of development. They had no idea of development. You see, last 1950, a very famous NM bill of Finance Minister.
65.
You can see his budget, he said, he balanced the budget and said, it is mostly in so much number. That his revenue is equal to expenditure and so they are surplus, in fact, it is surplus. So in my speech, I related the story of the whole colonial governance. See, where I used to go on the rice, you know, all the trumpeting fanfare, this, that, and the band playing and so on. Here I used to go, used to come and reach the budget speech from the chair. See, and say that, see, the revenue is 1,235,000 rupees, the expenditure is 800 and 995,000 rupees, and there is a surplus of 300,000 rupees, and you ought to be quite happy, you ought to be quite satisfied with the present financial position, and I want to tell you that the natives are all happy and contented. I told him the natives are happy under you, natives are happy and contented.